From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Efforts against COVID-19 yielding fruit. Satria satellite to boost digital economic transformation. Now the news in details. The National Task Force for COVID-19 Response claimed on Thursday that the government efforts over the past 6 months to fight the COVID-19 pandemic and curb infection have yielded fruit. The government's efforts have included the issuance of a policy on using a zoning system to designate and control regional response. Spokesperson for the task force, Professor Wiku Adhisasmito, said in a reply to a journalist's questions during a press conference at the presidential's office on Thursday, zoning refers to the disaster system, which classifies regions into red zones to represent areas with high risk, orange zones to represent areas with moderate risk, yellow zones to represent areas with low risk, and green zones to represent unaffected areas. The government also has increased the number of testing laboratories from 1 to more than 300 across Indonesia. Meanwhile, the number of referral hospitals, both at the national and provincial levels, has swelled to more than 800. As a result, the percentage of active cases nationwide has declined to 23.64% of the total cases in August 2020 from 91.26% in March. Satellite of the Republic of Indonesia, Satria, scheduled to operate in 2023, will strengthen digital economic transformation, including supporting digital payment systems in rural areas with inadequate internet infrastructure, the Communication and Informatics Ministry's Kominfo stated. Dedi Permadi, special staff to the Minister of Communication and Informatics, remarked while addressing a webinar on digital payment on Thursday that the acceleration of digital transformation directly and indirectly supports the digital payment ecosystem during and after the pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic has triggered digital economic growth as people are left with no other choice but to adapt to the digital ecosystem. In April 2020, a month after the government announced the country's first confirmed COVID-19 cases, 4.3 million shops were applying the digital payment systems, with transactions totaling 17.6 trillion rupiah. The Satria satellite is planned for launch in 2023 by SpaceX, Elon Musk's space transportation company, as a manufacturer of the satellite. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Government representatives from 46 countries in the Asia-Pacific region gathered online on Thursday to examine the state of the regional food security and highlighted the need to build a more resilient food system in the region. The 35th session of FAO's Regional Conference for Asia and the Pacific, APRC, put special emphasis on the implication of the spread of the coronavirus and its impact on food system region-wide, according to a release issued by FAO Indonesia, which was received on Thursday. The Asia-Pacific region is home to more than half of the world's undernourished. While the prevalence of hunger has decreased slightly, the region is far behind the pace needed to eradicate hunger and malnutrition by 2030. The Sustainable Development Goals deadline set by the global community to eliminate hunger and malnutrition in all its forms. Speaking to more than 400 participants of the online conference from Rome, FAO Director General Koo Dong-yu highlighted the negative effects of the pandemic, which have been felt across the entire food system. The Malaysian government will impose an entry ban on citizens from countries with more than 150,000 COVID-19 cases starting from September 7th, said Senior Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob on Thursday. Countries on the list include the United States, Brazil, France, United Kingdom, Spain, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Bangladesh. However, for emergency cases or involving bilateral relations, such as if a person needs to come for a meeting between countries, will allow entry. But it requires permission from the Immigration Department. He added that the Health Ministry will announce more details on countries which have recorded more than 150,000 COVID-19 cases at a later date. An independent panel reviewing the global response to the COVID-19 pandemic will ask hard questions and has been assured of access to the records of the World Health Organization, WHO, its co-chair said on Thursday. Former New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark and former Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf named the 11 members they have selected to help prepare a final report for next May. It will examine actions of WHO and their timelines pertaining to the COVID-19 pandemic and the effectiveness of WHO international health regulation. Co-chair Helen Clark said the WHO had made clear that their files are open books. The COVID-19 pandemic has now caused more than 26.11 million infections and 862,963 deaths, according to Reuters tally. U.S. President Donald Trump has urged residents in the critical political battleground of North Carolina to try to vote twice in the November 3rd election, once by mail and once in person, igniting a furor for appearing to urge a potential act of voter fraud. Trump said in an interview on Wednesday with the WECT-TV in Wilmington, North Carolina, that let them send it in and let them go vote. And if the system is as good as they said it is, then obviously they won't be able to vote in person. Trump has repeatedly asserted, without evidence, that mail-in voting expanded by some states because of the coronavirus pandemic would increase fraud and disrupt the November election, although experts says voters' fraud of any kind is extremely rare in the United States. Voting more than once in an election is illegal, and in some states, including North Carolina, it is a felony not only to vote more than once, but also to induce another to do so. Top ally of German Chancellor Angela Merkel has warned that the European Union risks becoming irrelevant if it fails to act against Russia over the poisoning of opposition politicians Alexei Navalny. Norbert Röttgen said a major gas deal with Russia must now be reconsidered. The Russian government has been widely condemned after Germany confirmed on Wednesday that Navalny had been poisoned with the Novichok nerve agent. He is gravely ill in intensive care in Berlin's Charité Hospital. Navalny has flown to the German capital after collapsing in pain on a flight in Siberia on August 20. His supporters believe poison was put in his tea at Thomas Airport. Röttgen, chair of the German Parliament Foreign Affairs Committee, demanded a tough European Union response in the Navalny case. Novichok is an extremely toxic military-grade weapon that experts say must have come from a state facility. Merkel earlier said Navalny was a victim of attempted murder and the world would look to Russia for answer. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Shinzo Abe and Resignation. The Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe last week officially announced his resignation from office for health reasons. He said he did not want his illness to interfere with making decisions and apologized to the Japanese people for not being able to complete his terms of office. Shinzo Abe is Japan's longest-serving non-stop prime minister since being appointed in 2012. Japan is a country that is often marked by resignation of officials. The culture of shame and guilt runs deep in their lives. If a public official is guilty, he will automatically resign from his position. Or in the case of Shinzo Abe, because he was sick, he felt that he was not able to carry out his duties optimally. So, he decided to resign. Some literatures explain that Bushido, which is said to be the basic of ethics for the Japanese population, is the root of the frequent resignation of public officials. One of the values in Bushido is Meiyo, namely maintaining a good name and self-respect by having respectful behavior. So it is not surprising that many Japanese leaders prefer to resign honorably if they make mistakes. In 2010, for example, Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama resigned because he failed to fulfill his promise during an election campaign to move U.S. military base out of Okinawa. After Yukio Hatoyama's resignation, the position of Prime Minister of Japan was then filled by Naoto Kan. But after 1 year in charge, Naoto Kan also chose to resign because he felt he had failed to restore Japan after being hit by the tsunami in March 2011, which caused a nuclear crisis. Shinzo Abe was promoted to become prime minister in 2012, but finally chose to resign for reasons of health that made him unable to carry out his duties properly. Shinzo Abe's resignation sparked a vote within the LDP's party to replace him as chairman. This election will be followed by a vote in a parliament to determine the figure to replace as prime minister until Abe's term ends in September 2021. Whoever replaces Shinzo Abe later will be faced with a very difficult task. Japan, like other countries in the world, is on the verge of a recession. The Japanese economy was -2.2% in the first quarter of 2020, while in the second quarter it was -7.8%. The economic growth in the second quarter is the worst decline since 1980. It is hoped that Shinzo Abe's replacement will be able to pass through the needle hole of the world recession and bring Japan to a better condition. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali diudara, tetap diudara.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We start from a historical event on September 4, 1948, where the Dutch Queen Wilhelmina abdicating. The Dutch Queen Wilhelmina reigned from 1890 to 1948. Her reign witnessed various historical events in the Netherlands and the world, namely World War I, World War II, the 1933 economic crisis, and the fall of the Netherlands as colonial rulers. Queen Wilhelmina, known and remembered for her role in World War II, where she became an inspiration to the Dutch people. After the war, Queen Wilhelmina decided to move from the palace to a house in The Hague for 8 months and visit all concerns of the countries to motivate the Dutch people. On September 4, 1948, Wilhelmina handed over the reins of power to her daughter, Princess Juliana, for the health reason. Next, let's move on to the historical moment on September 4, 1971, when Alaska Airlines Flight 1866 crashes. Alaska Airlines plane Flight 1866 was a commercial flight from Anchorage, Alaska, to Seattle, Washington. On September 4, 1971, the plane crashed into a mountain in the Haines Borough near Juneau, Alaska, before landed. Approximately 111 people died, and was the first accident of the airlines. The Alaska Airlines accident was also the worst in United States aviation history before the crash of Eastern Airlines Flight 66 on June 24, 1975. We end today in history on September 4, 1988, where Google was found. Google Incorporation is a U.S. multinational company engaged in internet products and services. These products include search technology, web computing software, and online advertising. Google was firstly founded by two Stanford University students, namely Larry Page and Sergey Brin, on September 4, 1998. Initially, the company was formed as a private stock company. Its first public offering began on August 19, 2004. Google is widely recognized for being reliable in its web search service. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Above the clouds,
we are seeds of love.
Paint the night with stars. morning star.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Indonesia's manufacturing sector begin to recover. The manufacturing sector in Indonesia has shown growth amid the pressures of the COVID-19 pandemic. This is reflected in the Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, of Indonesian manufacturing in August at the level of 50.8, indicating that it is expanding because it has exceeded the neutral threshold 50.0. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said in an official statement in Jakarta on Tuesday that this is a good news because one of the indicators of the Indonesian economy returns to rise. This achievement must be maintained and continuously improved by remaining focusing and working hard in efforts to restore the national economy. However, Minister Agus Gumiwang said that industrial sector activities must still strictly implement health protocols. His party has obliged industrial companies to actively report the implementation of health protocols online through the National Industry Information System portal. According to the survey results, manufacturing companies in Indonesia generally show strong sales growth following the gradual reopening of the economy. Furthermore, the Indonesian Manufacturing Index in the 8 months also showed business confidence rising to its highest level since May 2019. This is because companies are adjusting to the gradual easing of large-scale social restrictions PSBB related to the spread of the new coronavirus. Minister Agus Gumiwang assessed that the increase in the PMI level for Indonesian manufacturing was also supported by the implementation of adaptations of new habits that gradually increase operational activities in the industrial sector. Since Indonesia entered the transitional phase, namely the adaptations of new habits, Indonesia's PMI figures have continued to increase from 39.1 in June, then 46.9 in July and 50.8 in August. Meanwhile, head of the Fiscal Policy Agency Ministry of Finance, Febrio Kacaribu, hopes that this positive trend will continue in the future. With a contribution of 20% per second quarter 2020 to gross domestic products GDP and a workforce absorption of 18.5 million people as of February 2020, the manufacturing sector plays a very important role for the Indonesian economy. Thus, it is hoped that this recovery trend will furthermore continue. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Di dalam lautan yang biru, kulihat semua kehidupan yang sejatinya telah lama ada. Matahari sebagai saksi bisunya, dan sekarang perlahan mulai tiada. Janganlah engkau menambah luka, peluklah erat lautan Indonesia. Ikan
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listeners, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you to Jolenan tradition. Listener, once in every 2 years, Somongari villagers in Manora Hills, Purworejo Regency, hold village marti every Tuesday, Wage or traditional day or Sapar month Javanese year. Marti Desa is a mass feast of the Somongari village community to express their gratitude and thanks to the God for the harvest. This village marti is also often called Saparan or Jolenan. Jolenan comes from the word jolen, which means ojo kelalen or ojo lali. This means we must not forget and must always remember the God Almighty who has bestowed abundant harvest for the welfare of the people of Somongari village. Listener, in the Jolenan tradition, there are Jolen parades and local arts that are held along the village roads about 4 kilometers away. And Jolen is gunungan, a form like a mountain, made from woven palm or palm leaves with a bamboo frame and banana bunches. Outside of the Jolen, it is decorated with various traditional foods such as rangginang, glutinous rice, ledre or opak, bingel made from cassava that is hung from a bamboo blade that is stuck in the kedebok. Kedebok is put in and on the frame of the gunungan. At the top of the gunungan jolen, it is usually decorated with gagar mayang, wayang golek, and local fruits such as durian, mangosteen, langsap, and many others. Inside the jolen, it is filled with tumpeng rice, grilled chicken, ripe vegetables and fruits. Before going around the village, jolen and their odd entourage gather in front of the village hall before the event begins. Traditionally, every odd entourage that will participate in the parade must perform in front of the village's ancestral grave, namely the Kedono Kedini grave near the village hall. After all participants gather, Jolan's procession begins. Starting from the village hall, the procession heads to eastern area to the village of Dukurejo. After arriving at Dukurejo, the parade turns to western area toward the village border in Kedung Tilak. The parade is preceded by a group of village heads and their staff. Then it is followed by groups of art interns. The complete procession should have reached the village border and returned to the village hall again. However, normally when they return from Sejanur sub-village and arrive at Kramat sub-village, the residents begin to seize the jolen decorations. The result of grabbing jolen is believed to be able to give them blessings. Even though the jolen is over, the procession continues to the village border in Kedung Tiling. Upon returning to the village hall, tumpeng and grilled chicken, some of which are used for salvation, and eaten together. Some tumpeng and grilled chicken are brought home by their respective jolen carriers. After enjoying various foods and tumpeng, the art party begins. All the arts that participate in the parade finally perform again. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful Today's edition entitled Jolenan Tradition from Purworejo, Central Java. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about Raisa ITS, ready to help care for COVID-19 patients at Wisma Atlet. Stay tuned. 10 November Institute of Technology, ITS, has again shown its concern for medical personnel in dealing with COVID-19 patients. This time, ITS handed over the ITS Unair Robot Medical Assistance, or RAISA, to help medical personnel in charge of handling COVID-19 patients at the Wisma Atlet Emergency Hospital, North Jakarta. ITS, through PTITS TechnoScience, has submitted and signed the report of the handover of the RAISA and polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, robots to Head of Health of the Jaya Regional Military Command, or KAKESDAM, Colonel CKM Dr. Stefanus Doni. This took place via online on Friday. Previously, RAISA has also been used in several hospitals, including Universitas Erlangga Hospital, Dr. Sutomo Hospital, Husada Utama Hospital, and Saiful Anwar Malang Hospital. ITS Rector Professor Dr. Muhammad Ashari, M. Engineer, reveals that patients referred for assistance by the robot are the ones who are not symptomatic and are still able to move. RAISA has key features such as two-way communication media monitor. RAISA is also able to operate for 8 hours a day on a single battery charge. In addition, this robot is able to prevent collisions if there are objects in front of it, and it gives a warning. Professor Ashari also hopes that ITS innovation through RAISA, a hospital assistant robot, can help the state and society in handling COVID-19. It is also hoped that the potential for COVID-19 transmission to medical personnel can be minimized. Meanwhile, Director of PTITS TechnoScience, Dr. E. Ketut Gunarta, MT, pointed out that before the RAISA robot could be used operationally, the IT team from Wisma Atlet and Kodam Jaya conducted training first. Since the arrival of RAISA, which was sent on 4th August, the number of patients treated at the Wisma Atlet Emergency Hospital has reached around 1,000 people. Furthermore, this robot will be operated in one of the towers in the athlete's home state and is expected to be able to help medical personnel to heal patients. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
kau mempesonaku. Tingkahmu yang lucu, gayamu yang ceria, cara berjalanmu dan kehadiranmu itu menggemaskan, daku membuat malu dan tersipu, sipu memerah pipimu. Sungguh lucu kamu, senangnya hatiku melihat tingkahmu saat itu.
Kau manis sungguh penuh ceria, seakan tiada lagi tara yang mewarnai dalam hati dan menembus batas relung sukma.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from West Kalimantan entitled Cik Cik Periuk. The composer of the song Cik Cik Periuk is unknown. According to Sambas people, the song was composed by Dayak people. The song, which has been existing for 150 years as a meaning on innuendo of Sambas people to outside people who come to Sambas. The word chik-chik means the sound of pot, while periuk or in English means pot. Periuk is a kitchen equipped which is made from metal or clay that is used to cook rice. The sentence cak-cakbur dalam belanga means that all things in life have been very busy, like in a pan which has been mixed with many things. It's said that a lot of people are busy with the word businesses and forget hereafter. While the sentence idong picha gigi rongga means that they are still poor people. Sape ketawa, dolok dipancung, raje tunggal. It's a sentence meaning that who laughs when seeing ugly people is that he or she will be punished by raja tunggal because he or she insults God's creation. Raja tunggal means the only God. Listeners, here is Cik Cik Periuk.
Lakas.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.